is wonderful weather. I got a little sunburn on my white legs yesterday. Had some chicken bones out there in the sunlight. They got a little sunburn. They're mowing the lawn and pulling weeds, doing that. But it's a beautiful 4th of July weekend. I just pray you all have a good celebration. Let's remember that our country was indeed founded upon the ideas of Christian faith, and that we can only expect this country to prosper because of God's blessing and as we, as a nation, follow Him. How do we do that from our side as Christians? We pray. Pray for those in authority over us. Pray for our nation as a whole. Pray for those who served in our armed forces. And then live godly lives. That's our responsibility as Christians. That's how our nation can best benefit. So, seek to pray for those who are in authority over us this 4th of July. Our president, our legislators, governors, mayors, those who serve us, the police, fire, armed forces, those who are here taking care of this nation, we need to hold them up in prayer. Whether we are of their same political stripe or not, all are subject to the authority of God. We've been seeing that throughout the passages as we've gone through. We've seen time and again how God is using heathen kings and emperors to do His bidding and His work for the glory and honor of His name. That authority hasn't stopped. That authority continues today. Now, how can we know that the Word of God is true, that God's prophets are indeed speaking God's Word? It's truth. Well, we're going to read our passage today, and then we're going to refer to another section that has a word to say about that. We'll see what the Lord's Word says. So, you want to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 21. We're going to complete 21 today. We're going to start with verse 13 and read through the end of the chapter, which is verse 17. Can I, even though we put our passages up on the screen, I encourage you, bring your own Bible. That way you can keep track of where we're at. And you can always write down notes or put post-its in there, whatever. Okay. Chapter 21, starting with the 13th verse. An oracle concerning Arabia. You caravans of Dedanites, who camp in the thickets of Arabia, bring water for the thirsty. You who live in Tema, bring food for the fugitives. They flee from the sword, from the drawn sword, from the bent bow, from the heat of battle. This is what the Lord says to me. Within 1 year, as a servant bound by contract would count it, all the pomp of Kedar will come to an end. The survivors of the bowmen, the warriors of Kedar, will be few. The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning. We give You praise. Lord, we thank You for Your table, Lord, and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit and Your written Word to guide us each and every day, to help us to become more and more like You, Lord, to help us walk closer with You and to be better followers of You. Father, we ask now that You would send Your Holy Spirit to be present here. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach your word this morning, that your people here would be encouraged and blessed, that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified, and that you, Lord, might be raised up, and that we might all worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Arabia. This is the general area to the east of Israel. Jordan, Syria, today. This is what is generally was referred to as Arabia. Okay? You know what's there? A whole lot of nothing. A lot of wilderness. Not a lot of trees. It's not the land of 10,000 lakes. It's more of the land of 10,000 sand dunes. And it's probably more like 10 million. It's just a lot of desert. It's a tough, tough area. It is a wilderness that people traditionally had been able to run away and hide from those who were chasing them. And one of those places that it's tough to dig them out. Kind of like the mountains in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. They go on those rough, rugged mountains and people say, you just can't dig them out. You know, there's just too many nooks and crannies. It's rough, tough terrain. And if somebody's going to hide there, you know, this is an area, that is an area of the world that Russia, in its might, busted its teeth on. That nation after nation has been able to sweep through and take, but never really control the area. We've been there now for a number of years. We still don't have control. You know, our military's been there for a while. NATO forces, other forces, they're there, and you know, it's an ongoing thing. This area of Arabia is a similar area. It's people could go and hide and they could just disappear. Big armies can't chase them down. Why? Because there's no food and water. Okay? Logistics. The military moves on logistics. If you don't have transportation, if you don't have food, water, you might as well, you're not going to make it. You can have the best weapons out there. You can have the best fighting men, the best war machines. But if you don't have a way to maintain it or care for it or to get the people the food and the water they need, guess what? They're not going to make it. They're going to die. This was the problem that Germany had in World War II when they attempted to go into Russia. They had this extended supply line and they couldn't maintain it. They had a terrible winter that came and the German army didn't win because they were inferior to the Russian army. The Russians were just able to outlast them. And the German army just was at the end of a supply line that dwindled and they had no supplies and they then succumbed. This has been a military problem. What we have here is talking about a military issue. What you have is a battle that's going to be occurring. And they're told to bring water for the thirsty, for those who live in Tema, bring food for the fugitives. So there's people that are going to run away from a battle. We got fugitives. That means you're the one being sought. They need water. They're going to flee from the sword, the drawn sword, from the bent bow, and from the heat of battle. They're going to run to the traditional safe place. We run away. They can't touch us. We hang out here for a while, then later we'll all come back. But we have instead here a prophecy that tells us that that's not the way things are going to play out this time. Instead, this time, they're going to get caught. This is what the Lord says to me. Within 1 year, as a servant bound by contract would count it, all the pomp of Kedar will come to an end. The survivors of the bowmen, the warriors of Kedar, will be few. The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. Now this is contrary to all the known fact, wisdom. If you go here, you're going to be free. Okay, you're going to be able to run away. The army's not going to be able to chase you down and get you. This was something that people knew with quotation marks around it. Okay? This was a truism. In their minds, it was a fact. Need more space. So this is what's going to happen. Now, when is this going to happen? Within a year, as a servant counts their contract. Okay. I'm going to pick on Dan Smith, since he's here. And I know for a fact that Dan used to be in the Marine Corps. Dan, when you were 1 year out or 6 months out from getting out, did you know how many weeks and days till you got out? Oh, yeah. Did you count each hour as you got close? Not really so much. Maybe just the last week. You know. But you knew the day and the time. I'm supposed to be out at this time on this day. This is it. That was the contract. You know. Guys in the military, you know, they know, this is my out day. This is it. You know, I got three boys that were all in the Army, and boy, when they knew when it was their last day, they knew. You know, yep. Within 1 year, as a servant bound by contract, would count it. So we're not talking about, well, was it 1 year? Was it 10 years? You know, whatever. No, we're being given a very specific time frame here. 365 1/4 days. Right? It's like, I know 1 year, then my contract's out. Within that time frame, it's going to be over. Now, why is that important that we're given this? Well, what we also have in Isaiah is we have a whole lot of prophecies that aren't going to take place for 50, 100, 150, 200 years. Some of the prophecies don't take place for 500 years or more. Some of them have yet to take place. So how do we know that Isaiah is indeed a true prophet? One of the ways you know that is because the prophet gives prophecies that are correct to the jot and the tittle. Okay, the littlest markings in the writing. This is what we have here. Here we have a prophecy that I think, this is me, that I think is for the people that Isaiah is preaching to, that he's prophesying to, for them to use as a benchmark to say, is this guy really speaking the Lord's word? Because they're being told, within 1 year from right now, as a servant who's under contract would count that, this is going to happen. But this, if I had told you the day and time that Osama bin Laden would be caught, you'd all be, that's pretty good. Why? Because it went so long and nobody could. We didn't know when. We knew that we would eventually. But now instead in this prophecy, what we have here is we're having a prophecy being told of something that's kind of unexpected. Okay, when people get to this area, they're able to get away free. They're not tracked down. Their army is not left with few. You know, the pomp of Kedar will come to an end. You know, You know, they're, oh, we got away. No, that's all gone. These guys are going to be found, and most of them are going to die. Isaiah's telling them. Why is he telling them? One, so it can be that benchmark for them. But two, I want to refer you to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And we're going to look at a passage here, verses 14 through 22. Again, Deuteronomy, just after Numbers, just before Joshua. Or just after Numbers, just before Joshua. I got, you know what I meant. Page 198 in my Bible. That helps you. Start with verse 14, and I'm just going to read through this for you. It says, the nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. So, the word, he's speaking to the Jews, telling them, the people that you are going to move out of the promised land, they listen to sorcerers or divination. Okay? But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day when you assembled, and you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see the great fire anymore, or we will die. Okay, so there will be prophets that come. In specific, this is speaking of Jesus, but in particular, it's also speaking of the rest of those who fulfill the office of prophecy. It says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything. I command him. He will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. Prophet business sounds a little bit touchy here. Okay? There might be some repercussions if you're wrong. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? Right? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. And also refer back, if you would, to verse 20. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name, speaks presumptuously, anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. Therefore, if you have a prophet who's batting zero, that's right, Steve's got it. What if he's batting 7,500? I mean, he's right three quarters of the time. You have to be right 100% of the time. Now, here we have prophecies of things that haven't yet occurred. It's going to happen. So that's taken into account. But we look at this. How do I know that you are really the voice of God? I mean, you're giving me prophecies. You know, this is going to take place in this time frame, in this time. Yeah, okay. In that day, you know, when's that day? You know, it's a day far, far away. You know, it might be 2,000-3,000 years from now. You know, hey, we're 2,500 years from when these prophecies were given, and we still haven't hit that day yet. There have been some smaller days of judgment upon Israel, but not that final day that some of these prophecies deal with. But there were specific, very, very specific prophecies that historians have looked at that took place 150 to 200 years prior to when they occurred, And they're saying, there's no way Isaiah could have given that prophecy because it's just too specific. It had to have been somebody wrote this down afterwards and attributed it to Isaiah. Why? Because they don't believe in the Holy Spirit and God, for one. So it's only just man writing stuff down as far as they're concerned. But the fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit did empower Isaiah the prophet to speak forth the word of God, which came true in God's timing. Here we have the prophet Isaiah speaking forth, if you would. I'm referring to it as a benchmark prophecy. This is so you can know I'm legit. That all these prophecies that Isaiah is speaking throughout there, I'm not saying that this is not a real prophecy, that these people shouldn't be concerned. God isn't giving a false prophecy, nothing. But this is one that's happening in a time frame and in a methodology that the people are going to be able to check off and say, yep, you got that right. Yep, you got that part right. Yep, you got that part right. Oh, he was right on 100% of that. I guess that was the word of God. Okay, he wasn't right on 90% of it. He was right on 100%. That is a true prophet. We have people running around today who make claims to be prophets. I have issue with many of them who have that because you know what their record is? It's not 100%. I'm not saying that none of them ever heard from God, but are they truly a prophet of God? That's another question. I'm not going to get into that. But what I am going to get into is right now is we know that Isaiah is indeed prophet of God. And we know that this is God speaking to us. Not just speaking to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. He's speaking to us here today. And when God speaks, people, we are to listen. Again, back to Deuteronomy 18. In verse 17, the Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. And then verse 19, this is the one. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself, this is God speaking, I myself will call him to account. If we don't listen to the words of the prophet, God's going to hold us accountable. How do we know it's the word of God? Because it's come true. Every time the non-believers have attempted to prove the word of God false through archaeology, through science, through historical writings, whatever, it's been, I guess the Bible was right there. Well, it's just a coincidence, a fluke. They won't accept the reality of the truth of God. God's word is God's truth. And it's not just God's truth, it is the truth. It's not a relative thing. It's not it's true for me, but it's not true for you kind of thing. It's truth. End of discussion. 2 + 2 = 4. Well, not unless we're talking binary. Okay. One or odd, in binary language, there is no two. You got zeros and ones. So don't go there. Don't talk different math things. We're talking 2 + 2 = 4. That's truth. I have two apples, and you have two apples, and we put them both on the table, we have 4 apples. They teach that to kids that are 2 and 3 years old. They can get that one.
yet, here we are, most of us are quite a bit older than two or three.
And that we have trouble discerning God's truth when it's laid out right in front of us here. We question it. We say, you know, is that really real? Does it really mean what he says? The answer is yes. It is really real, and yes, he really does mean what he says. That's why he put it here. And this is what it's here for us today. This word is to remind us today that God's word is for us today. That as the prophet spoke, we, the people of God, are to listen. So don't ignore God's word and then wonder, why can't I figure out the truth? Why am I lost my way? Might we listen to God's word, and then we will know the truth, and then we will be able to find our way. Him we can trust on, because he's right 100% of the time. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed the one that is in control. That even when everything else seems like it's out of whack, Lord, it rests in your hands. So Lord, might we have faith in you and what you're doing, and trust that you will provide and carry us through, no matter what the difficulties are, no matter what the blessings may be. Lord, that you will be there with us. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to trust it. In Jesus' name, amen.